This presentation has been previously broadcast.
The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are cordially invited to the Summer of Pride with my friends at the North Face. We're traveling all the gay across America. Put on your boots and come out. Side with us. See you there, besties.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Wow, that was the latest in the woke corporation lineup. That was a North Face advertisement. Maggie and I were just talking about it. We said, no, that has to be a spoof, right? That's not real. No, you know, I've been continuing to follow what's unfolding in the culture, especially when it comes to this woke ideology, and in particular how corporations have embraced it and have really associated with their brand. I think it's a problem. I want to talk to you a little bit about it. We'll get into that coming up here. And maybe you've got examples. Maybe there's ads you've seen or encounters with stores that you went into. I'd love to hear about it. You can join me anytime. Feel free to dial in. It's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. It's always good to have you be part of the conversation. Of course, we'll pray in an hour, and I look forward to doing that with you. We'll pray the chapel today. So let's talk a little bit about what's happening here around the country, and I do want to get into that issue. When the initial news of this, this horrific shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, came out, we were given the impression that police confronted this guy very quickly at the scene. I don't know if you heard this or you've been up to speed. Maybe you got tired and you turned the news off. We're learning now that that wasn't the whole story. Police did arrive about 2 minutes after the call, and then there was, an initial confrontation. But after initially taking fire at the gunman, police retreated. They waited for backup to arrive. And all told, there was about an hour and a half between the first 9/11 call and the shooter being killed. He wasn't killed until a Border Police, patrol tactical team officer arrived. And at a press conference today, the Texas Department of Public Safety Director Stephen McCraw acknowledged that the responding officer waited too long. Those officers outside waited too long to breach the classroom where the killing took place. And what a compounding factor in this tragedy, right? You have law enforcement on the outside, and now you have all these children dead. And it's just it's just sad. It is really sad. There's one family that could really use prayers. Irma Garcia was one of the two teachers killed by the gunman. We talked about her during the chapel. In fact, we prayed for her family. She died trying to protect her children. But if you didn't hear this, her husband, Joe, he took flowers to a makeshift memorial. When he got home, he collapsed. He actually died of a massive heart attack. They're leaving behind now four children, 23-year-old and four teenagers. It's just tragedy. 23-year-old and four teenagers. I guess he's five altogether. I just think the ripple effect of that action by this, by the shooter, not only to take the life of this man's wife, but ultimately took the parents because he would succumb. I'm sure the pressure was high. I'm sure his heart couldn't handle it. Ended up having a massive heart attack. Left behind, five children. It's terrible. President Biden, too, in another news, is going to be heading down to Uvalde on Sunday to visit with the families. We'll see what he has to say, and hopefully, President Biden, you got to give him his props in this area. He knows what it's like to lose family members. He knows what it's like to lose loved ones. He's gone through that, and I think his compassion will be profound. I think it'll be real. I think it'll be deep, and I think that visit's important. I didn't really like when he addressed the country and he took the Lord's name in vain about seven different times, eight different times, and then went on to a tirade to push in a particular agenda. It's a time when the nation was really mourning, and I hope the tone's just a little bit better, but as I said, I know he knows that personal loss and suffering, so I'm sure he'll be able to connect in a special way with that audience. But let's continue to hold up those families, many of who are Catholic, in our prayers. Remember them in your masses. One other news story, and then let's talk a little bit about some of these businesses that we're seeing, in the culture right now that are going, their advertising policies are going woke. And I know we've talked a lot about wokeness, but it's really hurting their brand. And I'll highlight a few of them, and I'd love to hear from you. In Oklahoma, though, just a couple days ago, after Governor Kevin Stitt, signed the country's most protective law against abortion, he also signed a common sense bill that says that kids at public schools have to use bathrooms that correspond to their biological sex. So I want to applaud him. I want to say bravo to you. This is what we need. This is the type of leadership you need. You know, let's protect the innocence of our children. In addition to bathrooms, the new law requires students to use locker rooms that align with their biological sex. And then the new law, which, you know, was passed through the Oklahoma State Legislature last week, it calls for schools to provide a reasonable accommodation to any individual who doesn't comply with that. And I think that's a good solution. Let's have men's rooms. Let's have girls' rooms, right? And let's have, you know, some sort of, if you want, I guess, gender neutral or whatever type of room. If somebody wants to use that, they can. But at least a young girl going to school can feel safe and won't feel like her privacy or innocence is being invaded. That accommodation that that they put forth, according to the measure, is access to a single occupancy restroom. So you're not going to have a whole lot of people in that third room or changing room. The governor says, look, you know, I agree. It's kind of crazy that a law like this has to be passed in the first place, he says. But I'm willing to bet that someone somewhere is going to try to bring a lawsuit against it. I don't know how you can. I mean, it's so common sense. You got three bathrooms now, you know, the male, the female, and why not use the single, single use, single stall, whatever it may be, a third room. I think it's great. I hope other states pick up on them. In New Jersey, two high school sisters are feeling the effects of Standing Up for Life. I heard this story today about an 18-year-old girl named Vanessa and 16-year-old Nicole Pagnagna. They saw a group of about 200 students forming a pro-abortion protest in the middle of the school campus. So these two courageous girls felt that somebody needed to be the voice for those unborn children, that they needed to be stood up for. And they decided that, you know, they were going to do it. Very hard to do. You know, when you have a big crowd protesting with a belief and an ideology different than yours. So Nicole grabbed a sign that read, "Equal rights for babies in the womb." And then two of them went there, right, just to stand and let their voice be heard. Almost immediately, right, the crowd turns on them, starts attacking them, especially Nicole, because she was holding the sign. And according to the school district superintendent, there was, I guess what he said was a shoving, expletive-laden, verbal type of aggression that took place. I mean, there was vandalism of signs. Signs were knocked over, thrown, they were kicked. It got pretty ugly, but so far, no one from the school has apologized, and the only discipline handed down has been detention, with seven students being suspended. So there you have it. But I just wanted to commend those girls. I think it's fantastic that they're willing to stand up for something that was right, even though that the consequences could have been grave. And unfortunately, it resulted, you know, in an assault, and that's quite tragic. Hey, Let's talk, if we can, just about businesses going woke. I want your take on this, too, and what you're seeing. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I'm thinking, man, this is crazy where we've headed right now. I mean, Maggie played that audio from North Face, and personally, I love North Face products. I think they're fantastic, right? And the fact that, you know, they had to put an ad out like that. I was saying to somebody, I think it was, I forget who it was the other day. I said, you know, statistically, I think the number of those who claim to be same-sex attracted in the country is only about 4%. And since this has gone mainstream, the number has increased. Maybe it's now 5 or 6%. It's gone up. More people now will identify. Maybe they feel more comfortable coming out. Maybe it's part of that contagion. I don't know. But the number who are transgender, you know, is even smaller than that. It's a fraction of a percent. So I sit back here and I'm just my own personal analysis. I'm thinking, as a corporation, your responsibility is to return profit to the shareholders, right? You're supposed to be a successful business, earning profit, reducing your expenses. Why are they kowtowing to 4%, 5%, 6% of a population? What about the other 94, 95% of the population there that doesn't agree with this? I just think it's bad business. Over the past several years, you know, we've seen a lot of businesses, you know, going woke. 10 years ago, you know, you would have called them politically incorrect. But whether you call them PC or woke, you know what it means, right? We're seeing it on a number of levels. But the most grotesque example, and I was just saying, well, let's think of some of these companies. Companies like Amazon, right? Starbucks. And I won't drink Starbucks. I won't buy Starbucks anymore. I won't use Lyft. My daughter told me about this. She says, oh, I think Lyft's a little bit less money than Uber. But she says, I will not use it because they support the culture of death. Amazon, Starbucks, Lyft, even Tesla say they're going to pay. You know, they're going to pay their female employees up to $4,000 for transportation and housing and food if they want to go get an abortion in another state. $4,000. It's just absolutely sick. And my, you know, my producer Cassie said, you know, or Cassie, my producer Maggie was saying to me, would they pay that for a woman who's pregnant, who needed to see a special doctor or get treatment or have delivery somewhere else? You're going to put her up, pay for her housing, her transportation, her food? No. They will not. But when it comes to abortion, there's a blindness. You know, there's almost a spell that's been cast over the mind of many people. It's just sick. It's incredible. So, you know, Maggie had pointed out to me, you got to wonder what kinds of other policies they have in place for families, you know, like this, who are sick. I mean, what do you do? How about just, you don't have to take anybody to deliver their baby. How about a bonus for mothers that have children, right? If you're going to pay $4,000 to have them kill a child, how about $4,000 to seek medical care in another state if it means that their child's going to be okay? So, you know, again, I hope they do. Maybe they do. If they don't, and you're listening, Starbucks or Amazon or Lyft or Tesla might be a good policy to counter a very, very bad policy you have. But there is now some pushback going on. You know, the Daily Wire, they decided to poll investors just to find out what they think about what these companies are ultimately doing. And the poll of over 1,000 investors conducted last week, right, on behalf of the Daily Wire, showed that Americans, they want companies that they, you know, that they invest in to seek profits instead of promoting political agendas outside the company's mission. So you got about 29% of respondents who agreed it's a good thing for companies to leverage their financial power from political and social means. And you could see the argument for that, but, you know, who defines what's good? Who defines what's right? Who defines what political party or policy or social agenda they should be supporting? Right? I think it's quicksand. I think you step in that, you're going to get mired in it, and it's hard to get out. It's not good for business, you know. 58%, twice as many, said, look, this is a bad thing. So, you know, this comes after, of course, Disney. Right? Disney is trying to put queerness and gayness into just about everything they do, including launching a whole rainbow-themed line of clothing for kids. I had shared the story with you the other day about State Farm. State Farm Insurance had a reverse A plan to donate children's books, right? Promoting transgenderism to schools and daycare centers. Look, it goes on and on. That's just scratching the head. We've got, you know, so many of these different companies. We've got Target, you've got State Farm, you've got Disney. I mean, take a look at these places. The Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Kentucky has actually issued a legal opinion that the state is not authorized to invest in companies that practice ESG scoring, right? And we've talked about this environmental social governance score. We dove into that, oh, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago. Go back to my archives. It's something I didn't really know about. I heard just recently, and I realized this is something else that can really get out of control, and it's something you should be aware of. He said that the state investment boards have to judge whether they're going to put the state's money based on traditional investment standards, which basically means whether or not the company is going to make money and provide a return for their investments. And I think it's wise, right? So what is interesting is that the leak of the first draft of the Dobbs decision, right? Other than the statement about giving money to employees for transportation for abortion, there hasn't been, you know, many companies at all that have come out in favor of abortion. Have you noticed that ever since Dobbs came out and we saw this recoil? It's a good thing. I think really Disney, more than anything, I think it was Disney that really set the standard. When they got into war with Florida, I think other corporations, I kind of compare them to China, you know, looking at what's happening with Russia and the Ukraine. I think these other countries were looking at what was happening with Disney and Florida, and Disney had to pay a price for it. And of course, you know, its numbers, as I had mentioned, are down precipitously. You know, people become disenchanted with these brands. Netflix was another one of those companies that has just lost major, major following. And, you know, the list goes on and on. I don't know what you've seen. I don't know if you're working in a company like Disney, Starbucks, Target, you know, what have you encountered? What have you seen? Are you tired of it? Have you boycotted? Now, I'm not a big fan of boycotts. You know, I think you need to let the company know, and really it's effective in mass number. But, you know, I have my own silent one. Like I said, there are certain companies, certain products I just don't want to buy. I don't want to participate in, because I know that part of that money, the profit that they've marked up on that cup of coffee or whatever it is that I'm buying, is going to go to support abortion or to support some woke agenda. You know, I don't want anything to do with it. You know, so I'm out. We can do our part, large and small. I also think, and I'll just bring this to a spiritual point, and I say it just about every day to you on this point. When you see these things, what do? You feel powerless, right? What can I do? Okay, so not buying a cup of Starbucks coffee, is that going to make a difference? You know, if I don't shop at Target anymore, I shop somewhere else, or if, you know, I'm not going to use Amazon, you know. Well, it does make a difference. Believe it or not, it does. You know, one candle will pierce the darkness. 1,000 can banish it. And I see it the same way with those of us who choose either to frequent or not frequent these types of places. If everybody said, I'm not going to do this, the bottom line will get affected. We saw that with Netflix. I think they lost 250,000 subscribers. I mean, people are disenchanted. And, you know, I think the CEOs of these companies, there's a head up. Finances always speak. But the second thing, and this is really one of the most important aspects of the conversation, is just prayer. I mean, I remember reading many saints who talked about how a single day of prayer and fasting can do more than any military, any politician, anything that can be done over the course of a year, right? Prayer changes things. You might not see it, but your sacrifice, maybe not buying that cup of coffee, right? And then offering a prayer, asking Lord for mercy, praying for conversion, I think we'll see the fruit of it. Joe in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew, great topic. Hey, you know what? I was just listening to it, and I tell you, Drew, I just wish there was somebody out there, some millionaire or billionaire in this case, because there's so many of them in our country, that would put up billboards just listing all these companies that support this type of thing. I mean, people would look at it so different. You know, I got to tell you, I didn't know about Starbucks, but when I found out I had stock, I sold it. I wouldn't let my kids go to Disney. I wouldn't go to Disney for that type of thing. I mean, it's just so, so sad what we become in the ignorancy with this stuff, Drew, because most people don't even know it because they're so busy. But if you stopped and you thought about these things, people would not support this stuff. They just won't. And it's just sad. But when I was listening to it, I'm like, you know what? I got to call and say that.
I'm glad you did. First of all, Joe, thank you for doing whatever you can, for doing your part. It does make a difference. You know, it's so hard. You talk about a list. You wish there was a list or somebody would put up a billboard. I could not agree with you more. There was a list I saw at one point in time. I remember talking about companies, patronizing companies that support intrinsic moral evils, right? And there was a list of so many different things. I thought, my gosh, where do you shop, right? Where do you go? Because somehow, somewhere, they're connected. But, you know, we got to do our part, large and small. You got rid of the stock. You know, you don't shop in particular places. It makes a huge difference. And I'm grateful for your call, Joe. Thank you for being a witness. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks, Drew.
You got it. Dolores in Chicago, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Well, yes, I was going to tell you how shocked I was. I order a lot of things online from Carter's, the baby clothes company. You know, I have grandchildren, and it goes up to age, you know, you can like 6X or whatever. So during Gay Pride Month last year, I get an email coming through showing all their Gay Pride Month clothes for babies and children, along with three, the gay couples, two men with their child, two women with their child. Maybe they were, you know, and that was their ad for that month. So I emailed them, and it, you know, just kills me not to order clothes from them. But I didn't hear back from them, but I did email them and sent them an email and said I wasn't going to order their clothing. And why are they doing this? This is ridiculous.
Dolores, good for you.
Baby clothes?
I'm glad you took the time to write. It's more than most people do. I have not written to Starbucks. I probably should. That's just one example. There's other places that I don't go either because I know what they do. But you're right. And again, it goes back to my earlier point. This is such a sliver of their base, their marketplace. So with 3, 4, 5%, 6%, why do we cater to that when 94, 95% of your base in general is going to be offended like you were? And now you're not going to buy their product. I just don't. It doesn't make good business sense to me. I just don't get it. And I have great compassion for anyone who has same-sex attraction. We're called to love, clearly. You may have a family member. You may have a friend. It's not about being gay. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. It's not about homosexuality. This is a much bigger picture. We're talking about this woke agenda. We're talking about the ideological indoctrination of our kids. We're talking about making this type of stuff more mainstream. We're talking about putting our hard-earned money into a product and a company that then uses it to, send their staff off to have abortions. Today we're looking at a modern Holocaust. Yeah, it's called abortion, right? If I was around in the 40s, would I want to support a business that made Zyklon B, known and used in the concentration camps of Adolf Hitler? Of course not. I wouldn't support that company if it was making it and shipping it to Adolf Hitler so he could put it in the concentration camps. But today we have our own, by the ways of Targets, right? And Planned Parenthoods and so many of these different companies. We said this yesterday. Planned Parenthood, for example, I'll bring them into the conversation. They target more black unborn babies than anyone else. So you talk about race and being, racial justice that's in the country. Let's talk about Planned Parenthood, right? The largest purveyor of abortion in the country with a market share of somewhere between 32 and 39% of the abortions. They go to minority communities. That's where they get their profit, right? Then there are companies that give their money to this giant abortuary. And these are some of the companies I don't want to support. Companies like Starbucks, right? Adobe. Levi Strauss. I love a good pair of Levi's, right? Who doesn't like Levi's, right? Levi Strauss. Microsoft. They're all contributors to Planned Parenthood. So what do you do? What do you do? Can you patronize companies that support intrinsic evil? That's a tough question. Sometimes you don't have a choice, right? Fundamentally, if you're aware of what they're supporting and you can somehow avoid supporting them, especially financially, do so. As I said before, let's pray. Let me sneak one more call in here because I know we're getting close to the break. Joanne in Highland, New York, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Drew. I just wanted to make a comment about what you're talking about with the companies. And number one, I am very sick and tired of all the companies promoting all this political agenda and supporting whatever LGBTQ rights or abortion. I find it very hard to sit and watch television with my children because every 2 seconds there's a commercial with a gay couple on it. Mm-hmm. And we're Catholic. We have our own values, and I don't teach those values to my children. But right. I really find it annoying when they're trying to promote a product or a company that way. And I understand what you're saying about not supporting them. And what I try to do, because sometimes I feel like I have no choice, like you just mentioned. Sometimes I just simply do without the product. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes have to order from those companies or purchase something. But I really do find it annoying. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of my children having to see it. I don't really know how else to fight back, sort of, as you say, with prayer I do it. But like I said, sometimes I have no choice. And sometimes I just decide to do without the product, given the economy. It's not very easy just to spend money any which way these days anyway, so they're going to lose out that way because I'm not going to purchase.
You're not alone, Joanna. We walk in the same shoes. I totally agree with you. And there are times where you have to, the only place you can get your product is X, Y, and Z, right? So you have to purchase it maybe from there. But you can go without it like you did. And I think that's heroic to make that sacrifice. Say, you know what, I'll just do without it, or I'll buy a lesser product, or I'll buy something different. Or as you pointed out, to pray. And, you know, I think that's such an important point that we downplay sometimes. I mean, when we find ourselves at this crossroads, and let's say you have to buy this product, you need it for whatever reason, right? And you have to have it. Then let's really say, Lord, I mean, let's offer a sacrifice. Let's pray that these companies get right, because I struggle with it. I really do. I struggle knowing that my money is going to go to, in some, my tax dollars too, you know, to support Planned Parenthood and the killing of children, or some of the agenda that's being forced down our kids' throats right now. It's just, it's terrible. It's not good for the future of the country. It's not good for the soul of the country either. But I'm grateful for your comments, Joanne. Thank you so much for calling in. Maggie, I got to take a break, right? Yeah. I think we were up against the cross, up against the clock. I'm tired today. It's one of those days. It's Friday, right? You ever one of those days and you just wake up and you're like, what the heck? I just can't seem to get out of my fog. Good to be with you, though. I'm grateful for you being here. I do want to talk also about a strange phenomenon, a spiritual phenomenon that sometimes happens when the Virgin Mary appears. It also happened around a lot of different saints. It deals with animals, and I wonder if they have a mystical sense. I'll fill you in. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
I think we can see that Mary is certainly a model believer. She trusts her son, and she tells the servants there at Cana to do likewise. Do whatever he tells you. But besides a model believer who trusts and obeys, she is also the masterpiece of Jesus Christ. She is his redemptive masterpiece.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining me today. Hey, coming up in a moment, Father Edward Looney is going to join me. He wrote a great book. It's the month of May, and I do want to before, well, the month evaporates, right? And we're just days away. Can you believe how fast time is flying? Just to talk a little bit about our Lady. You know, I had the opportunity to travel to a lot of different locations around the world. I had worked on a documentary one time on apparitions, and you know, we found that in Zeytun, Egypt, you know, this is a place in 1968 where the Virgin Mary appeared, right? Visibly. If you were there, you would see her. There's actually photographs of these apparitions, and they're quite striking, to be honest with you. I interviewed an eyewitness to the event, several of them, in fact, and they would see at night the Virgin appear. She would appear as a luminosity. Clearly, it looks like a woman dressed as a woman from, you know, first century Jerusalem. And luminous doves were said to hover above her head. People would see this, and I've been told that those doves, you know, don't fly at night. And where do you get these illuminated creatures, right? In a place where the Virgin Mary is reportedly appearing, a place called Medjugorje, it's in former Yugoslavia, now Bosnia-Herzegovina, right before the Virgin Mary appears, and the thing about these apparitions, she appears every day at the same time, 5:45 local time. This might be new to you. I mean, you know, Fatima, right? The Virgin Mary said, I'd come on the 13th of the month, and kids weren't sure what time or where she'd be. When I was in Africa with the seers there, the visionaries there, Alphonsine Momoriki, the sole remaining seer, I was there for the last apparition, knew that the Virgin was going to come on this date, on the 28th, but she didn't know when. She thought it'd be around the noon hour, and when the Virgin Mary didn't come, 12 o'clock turned into 12:05 to 12:10. I noticed tears streaming down her face. She thought she was bad, and the Blessed Mother was not going to come, and all of a sudden, she snaps her head to the right, and there the Virgin comes with a flash of light, and she drops to her knees. We're able to capture all of this. But those were very characteristic of a lot of apparitions. Nobody knows. In Medjugorje, you know, and if the church investigation, you know, comes to the determination it's an authentic apparition, it'll be quite stunning. At 5:45 local time, the Virgin Mary appears, but right before she appears, right before the visionaries drop to their knees, all of the chirping birds, all of the noise outside, goes completely silent. Every bird settles, and there's this, I don't know, heavenly silence, if you will. And there have been reports that atheist Italian doctors, there's a guy named, there was a doctor over there who was so stunned by this, he began to investigate. It actually led to his conversion. Well-known, you know, Notre Dame basketball coach, among another of those, you know, great converts over there. But this is not a unique phenomenon. This has happened many, many times. You know, St. Francis of Assisi, right? He was said to have this ability to communicate with the birds. Joseph Cupertino, right? And so many others. So, you know, I think in Assisi, doves to this very day come and they rest every day in the hands of St. Francis, who is there. So it's amazing stuff. I don't want to go too far off tangent, but I came across an article written by Father Edward Looney. I recommend you read it. He highlights that this is the month of Mary, and he raises the question. He says, look, is it possible that birds, you know, that bird watching and Marian devotion can be united? Did Mary watch the birds come and go in Egypt and in the Holy Land? Did birds come and rest on her hand to eat? And he says, look, I'm a Marian theologian. I never thought I would consider this very idea if it were not for the Venerable Maria Agreda. And Maria of Agreda is that mystic I told you about who bilocated. She was there in Spain, and she came and evangelized the natives in what is now Texas. Remember I shared that story with you a couple days ago? Well, she wrote a four-volume work. It's called Mystical City of God, and it's an excellent read. And in this, and again, this is private revelation, so you have to take it for what it is. She does reveal some fascinating things. And I've invited Father Looney to join me today to give us some perspective on this. And of course, the important role of Our Lady. And you can join us too. Feel free to dial in anytime. 888-914-9149. Father, it's good to have you with us today. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, great to be with you, Drew, to talk about Our Lady. And, you know, I have a great hobby of watching the birds myself. I have a hummingbird feeder, and I have about four or five little hummerbirds that come every day to indulge at the little feeder. So it's a delight, really, when you watch the birds come, when you see one. And maybe you're just looking out the window, and it kind of just makes your heart smile when you see these little birds.
Yeah, I find it. I was struck by your headline though, Mary and the birds, and it raised questions because in Egypt, many people believe that site where the apparition took place in Zaitun was perhaps the place that Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, when they fled Herod's persecution, may have stayed for a period of time. And there, this apparition appears to, you know, Jews, to Orthodox, to Muslims, to Christians, people of all walks of faith over a two-year period, and they have these luminous birds. In Medjugorje, they have that phenomena. St. Francis has it. Joseph Cupertino had the event. St. John of Paul had. I mean, I can go through a litany of the saints who had these encounters with birds. What is it? What do you think of it, and what did Maria agree to say?
Yeah, so I've been reading The Mystical City of God myself and actually doing a little daily podcast with it. Helping about 1,000 people right now just read and reflect on it. And yeah, it was one of these things that I never had considered myself. And it just so happened that in one of the readings that I did, she's talking about the birds and how the birds would come to Our Lady. And like, if she was sad, they would come and they would, you know, land on her, or she would see them and she would be happy because they were there. And so that they would bring her flowers. That was another thing, that these birds would just bring her flowers. Just like I think of all the people that leave flowers at statues of right. Our Lady. In fact, I was just at the Mariological Society meeting last week at it was down in Illinois at Marytown. And we went over to Mundelein Seminary, did a little tour. And here was a boy who had just made his first communion. And his mother brought him to the seminary, and he was going to present flowers to one of the statues of Our Lady. That was something they were going to do out of devotion. And it was interesting to me to think about the birds taking the flowers from the fields and bringing them to Our Lady, and just like how we pay that honor and respect and bring her flowers in our own life. I've been very blessed. I've been watching a nest of robins at my house right now. There were eggs laid about 3 weeks ago. They hatched last week. I think the little baby birds might have actually flown away now. But I don't see them anymore. But, you know, just to look at the bird nest and to think about the exquisite detail and how they go about creating these things and building them into little nooks and crannies. Like, the birds are very intelligent beings, it would seem.
Yeah, it's cool. There's a robin nest right where I broadcast out of, and I can actually see all the little, I saw the blue eggs, and now I see the little chicks that are in there. The mother goes out and brings back worms. It's cool. I think, you know, there's been a lot of saints who've had these mystical connections to animals. They have this ability to communicate and to speak to them. Do you think animals have a mystical sense?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, of course, there's some of these like legends that say that, you know, when a cardinal appears, it's like, right, you know, the soul of a loved one who's visiting. You know, there's these myths like that. But, you know, I think that other animals, we think of St. Hubert, that he had this experience with the deer in the woods and how there was the cross in the middle of the horns and God, Jesus, spoke to him from there. I think that we can think of how God has used these animals for his purposes. But there is a sense, too, that these animals are intelligent. Like, there are always these stories that circulate every now and again where the cat at the nursing home goes and rests by the next person who's close to death, you know? They have this sense of maybe the supernatural in that way or something like that. You know, I don't know what to attribute it to, but it is something that we see time and again. And talking about birds, there was an Irish saint, Saint Kevin. He was known for feeding the birds, and I think he's actually the patron saint of bird watchers, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow. Fascinating. My guest today, Father Looney, if you want to join us, feel free to dial in. The number here is toll-free for you at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father has recently written a book called How They Love Mary, 28 Life-Changing Stories of Devotion to Our Lady. And if you're interested in that, we'll get you plugged into it. And, of course, you can join us here for that conversation as well. Father, I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more. We'll take a few calls. If you've had your own experience, let me know. Maybe I'll share a story with you. It's kind of a weird story. Can you ask God for signs? I think you can. I asked him for a sign one night, and I asked for a specific animal to give me the sign. And maybe I'll share that story. I don't think I've ever shared it before. That and more coming straight ahead. Don't go away.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Yeah, I think it's probably my favorite Beatles song. And boy, they have a beautiful repertoire, don't they? Amazing. It's good to be with you today, talking about Our Lady today. And it's the month of May. I hope, during this month, in a special way, you can find yourself drawing a little closer to her, because I really believe that when you draw closer to Our Lady, you're going to find yourself really speeding down the pathway to holiness. You're going to find that she points you in the direction of her son. But there's something about Marian devotion, and the great saints like the Montfort and St. John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, St. Teresa, you can go through the litany of them. They all understood this. They all knew this. You know, the fastest and the surest way to Christ, I think it's through Our Lady. It really is. You want to grow in holiness? She's the Lady. And I'm telling you, she's interceding in a big time way. And I believe the Lord is sending her today. We live in an unprecedented time of Marian appearances, of apparitions of the Mother of God. And Father Edward Looney wrote a book, and you might want to check it out. We gave it away during the pledge drive, so if you contributed, you might have came in at that premium level. It's How They Love, 28 Life-Changing Stories of Devotion to Our Lady. And he tells the story of about 28 different people, especially saints, not all of them, of people who had devotion to her and how they expressed it. Our Lady has really been such a huge part of my life ever since I was a child. And I often think of John Paul II, who lost his own mother, right? And I'm sure Our Lady became that mother, both spiritual to him. He probably relied on her, confided in her. And when he became Pope, of course, his coat of arms was totus tuus, meaning totally yours. He was a beautiful, you know, cross with an M underneath of it. And you see the Marian influence of John Paul II. Father, it's good to have you here with us. Before I share that story I was going to share, what's your take? Because, you know, St. Francis de Sales, the gentleman saint, great saint, is one of those saints who have these incredible stories. I know so many people today suffer from anxiety. They suffer from depression. They suffer from moments of real doubt. And I think he's one of those great intercessors for that area. Why don't you share his story?
Yeah, so St. Francis de Sales is one of the 28 people featured in How They Love Mary, the book. And one of the things that really struck me about him when I opened up his Marian sermons, so there's a whole volume of his homilies about the Blessed Mother for her feast days, and the first thing you see is an image of Our Lady, and then it says, you know, dedicated to Our Lady of Good Deliverance, who, you know, by her intercession, St. Francis de Sales was healed. And so, of course, the curious mind wants to know, well, how did Our Lady heal him? And so St. Francis de Sales, just as a young boy, probably a teenager, was struggling with some health issues. He was struggling with depression, anxiety. He couldn't sleep. He was actually losing weight. They were very concerned about his health. And one of the things that he did was every day he went to the local church. He went before this image of Our Lady, and he prayed that she would deliver him from this ailment. And eventually, over time, his mental anguish was lifted from him, and kind of these chains that bound him were broken. And so he goes on and becomes one of these great saints of the Catholic Church, set free from that. So, of course, you could be a saint struggling with things like that. But this was just a way in which Our Lady, in a very simple gesture of him, going, praying at the statue, maybe bringing flowers to Our Lady, like so many people do, and asking her to help obtain that relief that he was praying for.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Father, how did you come to have a devotion to Our Lady?
Yeah, you know, I would say it's all about the people that were in my life. There was from, especially my hometown, especially my grandmother. She was a very strong devotee, watching EWTN, et cetera. So I grew up with her and saw the Catholic programming and such. And also a lady from my parish planned pilgrimages. She went all over the world to different apparition sites. And so she would always tell those stories. And that left an impression, I guess you could say. So it's really, I would say, the people I knew and seeing how they loved the Blessed Mother themselves.
Yeah, how beautiful. Well, let's take a call or two if you want to join us. It's 888-914-9149. Joe in Providence, Rhode Island. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Yes, I have a good one. Years ago, we changed our son's school. And in the process, you know, we were very, you know, we didn't know, are we making the right move? So on the way to give the new school the check to sign him up, I prayed the rosary and I asked for a sign. And to make a long story short, my wife called me up and said, come straight home. And when I got home, the traveling statue from Fatima was in our living room waiting for
me. Wow. That's awesome. I love it. Joe, thank you. Thanks for calling in and sharing that.
You're welcome.
That statue, this is a true story, too. Speaking of that statue, I remember I was just joined Relevant Radio. It must have been 2004. We were broadcasting out of a different building, and there wasn't many people there. I was getting off the air. I think it's at maybe it was 6 Central or 6 Eastern, whatever time. I'm not quite sure. It was the end of the day, and most of the building had emptied out. And we had a chapel in the building. And somebody had brought the statue of Fatima. It was in there with the Blessed Sacrament. And there was another woman there who knelt down and was praying. And I was in there praying. And that statue actually wept. We actually saw it cry. And several people at the network back then also saw that phenomena where Our Lady has cried. Of course, that's not an uncommon phenomenon with Our Lady. I mean, there's been many weeping statues. Many of them involved her. In fact, Pope John Paul II witnessed one when he was at the Second Vatican Council. He was a cardinal at the time in a place called Syracuse. When he became pope years later, he'd go down and dedicate that to the Chapel of the Tears. So interesting stuff. Father, I only have a moment or two left. Let me just get some final thoughts from you here, too, on Marian devotion and why you think it's so important. I personally, just by God's grace, have had a love for Our Lady, and it only grew deeper. And some people struggle with maybe loving Our Blessed Mother too much or praying too much to Our Lady, praying the rosary and invoking her intercession as opposed to going to Jesus Christ. Can you leave us with some final thoughts on that? How do you parse that? Is there ever an imbalance? I don't think there is. I don't think anybody could love my mother too much. That'd be great. But your thoughts on that? How do we draw that balance?
Yeah, so our devotion to Our Lady is all about imitating Christ. And so we want to love Our Lady like Christ loved her. And the love that we have will always pale in comparison to the love that the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, had. But I think if we do struggle with it, there are times where we can ask Our Lady, kind of in that intercessory role, to ask the question, well, can you help me to know how to love you? Like, what way do you want me to love you right now? Or even to ask the Lord, like, Jesus, how is it that you want me to be devoted to your mother? And I think over time, then we'll begin to realize, kind of that healthy balance of devotion to Our Lady with our devotion to the Lord and to the Eucharist and such.
Well, Father, people want your book. I know there's a lot of other stories in there. What's the best way to connect?
Yeah, I'd say Sophia Institute Press publishes it, or to get it wherever Catholic books are sold.
All right, well, we love it. Hey, thanks for making time for us, Father. Appreciate it.
Oh,
keep up your good work, okay? We'll talk again soon. All right, it's Father Edward Looney, and I'm grateful for him and all that he does. He often celebrates Mass at the Relevant Radio Chapel there in Green Bay, and great homilies, great preacher. I promise I'd share a story, so I should probably get it. I know some people want to hear about it. I don't think I've ever shared this story before because it's kind of, or maybe I did, but it's, I'm always very cautious about signs. There can be a natural and logical explanation for something that happens. But, when you ask God for something, I don't think that's a problem. God uses the natural, sometimes in a supernatural way, to communicate to us, right? One night, my second son, he was very colicky, and he could never sleep through the night. And he'd cry every night around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, he'd get up. And my wife and I were newly married. We have a small little, house, and I don't think we had air conditioning, or we had one air conditioner. It was brutally hot. So I would put him in the car, and I'd take a drive with him, put some music on, and then I'd pray. And my wife and I, we are actually, we saw a beautiful home come up for sale, right? Not for sale, but it came up for foreclosure, right? And in the community, it was close to a friend of ours. A sign went on. People in the middle of the night got up and they left this house for no reason. I don't know what reason. They left, I guess, financial hardship. So we hear about it and we decide, hey, let's try to buy this home. It's beautiful. It's only like a year or two old. The people moved in, and so it's like a brand new house that's just been abandoned. And we thought, oh, we'll never get it, right? So we do our due diligence. We look into it. We find out how much money's owed. And that night, I was really praying. I was pouring out my heart for God. And we can pray for anything. You can pray for housing. I've known people who've been given houses, who've been given cars. I know people who've been blessed in extraordinary ways. And I was going through these fields. We lived in southeastern Pennsylvania at the time. And I was kind of back out in the country, driving through these streets. And I said to the Lord, Lord, if this home is mine, if you've heard my prayer, if you are going to answer me, if I'm going to be able to raise my children in this home, as we're now pregnant, I think, with our third, I said, give me a sign. But the sign I want is this. When I turn left on this next road, I want to see, not on the side, but in the street, a buck. I want to see a deer with its antlers, right? I mean, it's very specific. I was like, I want to see a deer. I want to see that. If you show me that in the next hour, it'll be great. No, I was very specific. When I turned this road, and maybe I was childlike, I was very new in my faith, but I totally believe that God heard my prayer. I felt that connection. So I'm driving along. I put my blinker on. I make my left. And there, to my absolute amazement, in the middle of this road is this giant deer. Huge horns. The headlights grab its eyes. It sees me and it races down the road and off into the distance. I got home at 3:15 in the morning. And I ran into the house and I woke my sleeping, tired wife up. And I said, Kathy, the house is ours. We are going to get that home. That home is ours. And against, you know, other people possibly bidding, against bank, against people coming back and reclaim it, that home was ours. And Kathy and I moved into a home we could never have ever afforded at the time, ever. It was beautiful. I was so close to my own family. It was a blessing from God. But God heard my prayer, and God used, the nature in a special way to write it. You know, St. Francis comes to mind, right? You know, you often think about him and the birds that come and settle in his hand. His protege, St. Anthony, he preached to fishes. St. Benedict was fed by ravens, right? We know the role of animals with the saints and how God can often use them. You know, St. Benedict was about to drink poison, and that raven came and broke his glass. So, you know, God can do anything. And that's why when we're about to pray the chaplet, pray with that childlike faith. Ask God, say, Lord, please, you know, if this is meant to be, let me know. And maybe it's not God's will that that prayer you're asking for is answered. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. Then ask him for the peace that you need, right? For the submission to his holy will. Because that's where true happiness is found. That's where true peace is found, when you're doing God's will. So we'll pray for God's will. We'll pray for those miracles, right? And we'll pray for those blessings I know many of you are seeking. And we'll do that when I come back. I think there's a line open right now for the chaplet. They tend to fill up pretty quick. The number, if you're new and you want to have some prayer, it's 888-914-9149. Chaplet of Divine Mercy is straight ahead.